This is Will's Band of the Week for October 18th, 2020. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, along with Barrett. We have Barrett back.
Yeah, I'm at, porch studio. I'm outside, and you'll notice you don't hear any of the birds, as you sometimes do. They've all flown south.
I was going to say, it's
for the winter.
It's too cold for them now, right?
Yeah, not too cold for me.
I think it's, about 42 Fahrenheit today?
Something like that.
That would be about, six Celsius, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Just to give Craig some context. Not that he couldn't translate. Being an international guy, he can probably, understand multiple languages and multiple scales of temperature or, anything.
Right.
Oh, I forgot to say. And Craig from the Ipswich Bureau.
Here I am.
It's been a while.
I didn't say anything during the temperature conversion because I hadn't been introduced yet.
Right, yeah.
The announcer hadn't called me on.
Right. This is great. I mean, it's been, when I logged on to Skype and I found Barrett on there and it said something like last chatted 2 months ago or something. That's pretty bad.
Has it been that long?
Well, by Skype definition, who knows how where they round it, but maybe it's been six weeks or something. I don't know.
Wow.
So, yeah, I got to get you back here more regularly. I got to harass you more, I guess. And Craig, too.
Yeah. I was going to say, you just had to tell me that Craig was going to be on, and that was all the incentive I needed.
Yeah.
To make myself, available. So, that sounds like I'm being snarky and facetious, but I'm not. Absolutely sincerity.
So. I should think your brain is chilling. 6 Celsius. Ooh, that's the temperature that you set a fridge to.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. 2 to 5 for a refrigerator, really. So
That's it's cold by UK standards right now, right? Because this would be like a winter day, pretty much, right? A January day there.
Yeah, we'd be happy with 6 in January. Yeah, it could be down to freezing, but certainly not every day in January. You wouldn't think it would be freezing.
So
really?
For me, the worst thing about the temperature right now is that it has finally gotten cold enough that it's hard to find a place to eat or drink outside, and nobody wants to go inside still, of course. So that's kind of sad to me.
Right. Yeah, it's... We just bought one of those, those portable heaters.
Yeah.
It's like a silver cylinder with a little cap on top and the heat comes out of there.
Yeah.
So we've got to just put that together and hopefully that'll extend we'll extend the season a little bit. But yeah, we're not allowing anybody in the cafe right now. And, so far people have been willing to wait outside for their drinks and stuff, but we'll see what happens when that gets down to, 10 degrees or colder here.
Yeah, you've got
Fahrenheit.
I assume you got the heater for the patio, right? But maybe it's not legal to put a heater out there in the front on the sidewalk.
Yeah, I just don't know. I don't know.
We were downtown at, have you been to that place called the Settle Down Tavern?
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good drinks and food. But one of the waitresses there was telling us that they're trying to get approval for a fire pit, like in the street. She said, I don't know if we're going to be able to get that approved.
Yeah. That would be cool, but it seems like a bit of a long shot.
Right. So is yours the kind that has the propane tank in the bottom of it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I hope that works. So
Hope so. You know, I don't know how many I'm not good at estimating square footage, but you know, it's not a very large patio.
Right.
It's enclosed by a fence and then a canopy of tree. So I don't know, maybe the heat will kind of stay in there a little bit and it'll be, as long as you're not too far from the heater.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll see.
That seems like a worthwhile thing to try.
Yes. Yeah, because the way things look, I don't think anybody's going to be spending any time inside the shop for a while.
Yeah. So. Well, all right. We'll hope everything works out the best
yep.
it possibly can, given the situation. So, Craig, what's up over there in the Ipswich area?
Well, with the big, I don't know, not a lot, really. Similar situation. Trying to support these small businesses as much as possible, but also everyone has to look out for their well-being of themselves and their community. So it's a bit, this is a very difficult balance.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
But winter's coming, for sure. It's, yeah, pub gardens aren't going to be as appealing, for sure.
Right.
So, yeah.
I saw a place somewhere was putting up igloos, like clear, like igloo-shaped things.
Yeah.
That's a lot of trouble, though, right? Because then you have to have one for every dining group, right? It's like a personal thing. So that'd be super expensive, I would imagine.
Right. Yeah, I don't... We sat in one of those in Chicago last fall, and they're kind of cool, you know? But yeah, this was a place with an awful lot of room, and you need kind of a lot of room to put, you know, put just a few of those out, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. It also kind of seems like it would kind of trap the virus inside. Like, if somebody you were with did have it, you'd have almost no way to get out of there without contracting it yourself.
Right. I think the assumption would be that it would have to be just family members, or, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Or people you're willing to risk it with. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I would say that I am not a person that it's wise to risk it with for a while, working with all these college kids.
Yeah. And so it's the part of town that has had a lot, just the campus area, you know. Although right. It went down, like they, after the initial down. Huge spike, it did go down. Like, it seems like they're doing better than they were, but yeah.
They're doing pretty well. I mean, they're doing better than the rest of the state. I should say we, you know, everybody here in Madison. And
yeah.
I mean, if you go around, you see it's not hard to figure out why. I mean, everybody wears masks everywhere all the time,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, and then you get outside of Madison, you go up north. I went up to a place about 3 hours north of here and like a month ago. I felt like an idiot walking around with a mask, like going into a gas station.
Like,
they look at you like that liberal. God.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, that's terrible. Yeah.
And Oshkosh is, at least was, one of the worst places in the country a couple of weeks ago.
Right. Yep. Yep.
That's Will's hometown.
Yep. My parents are still there. Fortunately, they don't leave their house very much. It wouldn't be very safe for them to do so. So
I've got a bit of an update on the bird situation. There are a lot of robins up in the black walnut tree. I thought they would have been among the first to leave because they're always the first ones to come back. But there's a lot of them here, and but they're relatively quiet.
Yeah.
So there's your bird update.
All right. We did the coronavirus update without playing the jingle. Sorry, Nicholas. We've done the bird update, Ipswich update.
Yeah.
And we covered Eddie Van Halen last week. So I don't think we've had any big indie rock or rock and roll deaths this week.
I'd be curious to know Van Halen's status in Great Britain. I mean, it seems like such an American thing. Were they big there, or?
A little before my time, but certainly it was in the news here when he passed away a couple of weeks back.
Right.
Partly for the Michael Jackson thing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I guess among a certain demographic, Van Halen would have fans.
Right.
But then amongst every single person knows that he was involved with Michael Jackson on working with him. So Michael Jackson right. is absolutely massive here.
Right.
It's funny. I had completely forgotten about that that he played on the Michael Jackson song until Barrett mentioned it. We were talking about it.
I listened to it later that day in my car, like three times in a row, super loud. And it is so, it's completely ridiculous and totally exhilarating. And it's like, I don't know. I mean, you can imagine he just kind of did it and was like, well, there it is. Any engineer that listened to it must have been like, what the F is that? What is that? And then you put it together and it's like just total magic. It's crazy. I don't know. I was like laughing out loud listening to it, just like pure exhilaration.
Yeah, there's no argument against the fact that that's an incredible solo.
Right. Yeah.
Sometimes some of his solos were like, I thought they were sort of like discordant, like he actually missed notes or screwed up. But I think that was part of his whole thing, as he was trying to sort of push the envelope a little bit, so they weren't always they didn't always sound standard.
Right.
But cool. All right. Well, we've covered that. Are we going to go to our featured bands now? It seems like we haven't wasted enough time. We usually waste a lot more time with just random banter.
Well, I was going to talk a bit about why I haven't been here, which is and it connects it a bit to that, to Michael Jackson and Beat It, because I just don't. Sometimes in the last few weeks or months, even when we've been cooking in the kitchen, we just put some music on, but we don't ever want to listen to anything new. And I don't know what the reason was. It's just like the whole year is a fake year. And I'm afraid next year is going to be another fake year as it looks how it's going.
Right.
And so almost we're fake people. I don't know how to describe it without sounding ridiculous. So, for example, we just put on Beat It. It would be one of my first. If I had to pick 10 songs, it would probably be in there. All-time greats. And then we just put on, I don't know, Aha, Take On Me, and then maybe, these classic songs from history rather than anything new. And I don't know. I think partly that because there's no live music, and I'm really not going to watch musicians performing on a webcam. It's just not for me. So because there's no live music, there's no reason to listen to anything new because you're not going to be able to see the band. And so I just haven't been doing it. That's
right.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's like for you, Craig, you know, the live shows are what drives your whole interest, it seems like.
Yes, that's fair. Yeah.
So I was going to mention, though, talking about listening to old stuff, I was telling you guys that my wife and I stopped for a beer at a brewery here in Madison called Carbon 4. And, it was late season, but it was like close to 60 degrees, pretty nice outside for, hanging out. Just as we were leaving, the song Age of Consent by New Order came on.
Oh.
And I'm like, what a cool song to play, man. And then I'm telling Maya, hey, do you know this song? Here. And so I just pulled it up on my phone and played the whole thing in the car. What an awesome song. So that was pretty fun.
Yeah. Yeah. You should have turned right around and even though you paid the bill, sat down and got another beer.
Yeah, just for that, right?
That would have.
I know.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say that's what I miss most about life, living this year, is things aren't spontaneous and fun anymore. You can go to a cafe and a pub and restaurant. We have been to all those places, but you can't. It's just difficult. Everyone feels awkward. Everyone feels a little bit endangered. But if that had been in 2019 and Age of Consent came on as we were in a bar, we'd say, now we're staying for another drink. And it's just, life was more fun before.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
It will come back. We just have to be patient and look after each other.
Yeah, I will eventually come back. I keep hoping, because now everybody's forecasts are like, oh man, it's going to be like next summer or something. I keep thinking, what could it still happen? There could be a pretty good vaccine in January and people just start getting it like crazy. And that things are getting actually pretty good by April. That's what my hope is. I don't know how realistic that is, but that's definitely my hope. Going to be a long winter, though. Got to figure out creative ways to get through this crap.
Yeah.
So I guess we can call this ironic, then. It's ironic that Craig, having been not listening to any music, nominates a band because he heard some friends say some good things about it. And here we have it, Working Men's Club. And this is great because I don't think I would have listened to this if you hadn't brought it up. And I think it's like a pretty fun discovery.
Yes, you're wondering, Will, probably why I say they're from Manchester. And this is because they're from a little town, a town called Todmorden, which is just in West Yorkshire. But really, this is 15 minutes on the train from Manchester, maybe 10 miles. So to me, it's Manchester, but they would probably hate that. You really wouldn't say that to them, probably. But anyway, lots of bands from Manchester decamped to live in Todmorden. It's just on the edge of the rural area where the hills start. Very pleasant place.
Cool.
Nice.
And yeah, they've got that electro. They would be friends with WH Lung for sure. WH Lung are also living in Todmorden, as you know. We talked about them a bit last year.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They have some similarities musically, a little bit on the record. Not every song for sure, but a little bit.
Yeah, I'd say so. You just reminded me of that WH Lung album that I sort of forgot about, but that was really good.
Yeah, I think every time I'm on the podcast, I mention the music being similar to New Order. And that's partly a crutch of mine and partly because every band from England sounds a bit like New Order. And it's definitely true with Working Men's Club as well.
Right.
So, Craig, you should make the first choice here.
Yeah. That's some good... I think one of the similarities perhaps with New Order is that the vocals aren't that great and the lyrics aren't very good either. A little bit weird. But then the music is so good, you just have to sing something, don't you? And here's a song with bizarre lyrics, but a nice groove. Track 8, Cook a Coffee.
You look like a book.
Working Men's Club from their self-titled album.
Parental advisory.
It was kind of shocking, yeah. You know, when I was listening, the rest of the album does not have like lyrics like that. And so when that came on, I'm like, whoa, where did that come from?
Right. Yeah. I think that's the second appearance of that coarse word. Also turned up in the dry cleaning episode.
Oh yeah!
When Will picked that song,
oh,
I thought that song was absolutely, you know, like it's a great song. I'm like, I'm not going to pick that one. I just can't. But you did.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was a mixture of pride and, you know, it was a little bit. I don't know. Whatever. It was a bold move.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That scuzzy guitar riff there. The only thing, word I could use to describe it is dirty, really. And then the lyrics are a bit like that too. But just a fun song. And the album doesn't really all sound the same throughout, which does make it interesting. Well, I think you were saying it's an interesting discovery when you're leading into it, and that's it's intriguing. It's hard to define it, really.
Right.
Yeah, I think a lot of the songs are more, you know, toward the poppy end of things, and some are more noisy, abrasive, you know. So I think there's enough that it doesn't sound samey, you know, from one song to the next. It's interesting throughout, I think. Barrett, do you have a pick?
Well, I listened to it one time through, and I don't know. I guess I didn't feel compelled to go back and listen to it another time. I like it just fine, but I'll let somebody else make a pick.
All right, let's go back to number. I'll go with number three, John Cooper Clarke. I think that's an interesting combination of the techno sound with that guitar riff.
Right. You know, I mean, it's kind of scans as dance music, but in what context do people dance, like literally dance to music that sounds like this? Are there places that maybe in the UK there are, but right?
You'd think there would be.
Well, it's not something that you would hear anywhere that there would be dancing.
No. Not where people as old as us are, anyway.
Well, maybe we don't go to places where people dance. Maybe that's why.
Yeah. I think 17 and 18-year-olds, maybe.
Right.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Well, it'd be a lot cooler to dance to that than what a lot of people actually dance to. I'm going to say that with my arrogant attitude.
Right. You know who would? You know which one of us podcasters would be the most likely to dance to that?
Oh, yeah. There's one podcaster who's most likely to dance to anything. Yeah.
There's no question.
Right.
Jeremiah is the guy.
Yeah.
Maybe the only one that's willing to, I don't think the rest of us would dance under really any normal circumstance.
Well, it sort of depends.
Craig,
how
do you dance a little bit or?
I would just never. At university, I used to at the indie discos, but. Absolutely, right. under no way at all ever now. No,
right.
Part of it's how you define dance, though. I mean, when we went to see Fontaines in Chicago, Chris was pretty kinetic in the crowd there. Now, whether you define that as dance, you know, I don't know.
That's just kind of like
we all were kind of though
jumping around.
Yeah, jumping around is a little different, I guess, than what you might define as dancing.
Yeah.
All right, we have the non-dancer podcasters today. But that doesn't stop us from listening to this. Craig, looks like you get to make another pick.
Oh, wow. Well, we've got the 12:30 final track, which is like two or three songs in one. Maybe we should have this one. I'm tempted to go with track one. Yeah, let's go, because this has some of the influences and things we were talking about. Track one, Valleys.
That's Working Men's Club, and so I would say there's some later career New Order influence in there for sure.
Yeah, not just influence. I think it sounds so much like them. I thought it could easily be it. Yeah. I really like it until he starts singing, unfortunately. And Amanda was kind of in agreement. She said this would just be an instrumental band and they'd be so much better. But then, you know, like Jay Maskus said, you have to sing something because it's just expected in a way. So,
yeah, I think his vocals are pretty good on some of the tracks and not so great on some of the others. So, I don't know. The whole thing surprised me how much I found it interesting from track to track. So I'm definitely positive on this one.
Yeah, I think if I were to, when such things are possible, I would go and see them. Well, they're getting quite a bit of... Just when the coronavirus came, they were getting quite a bit of buzz. The album was probably supposed to come out earlier in the year, I'd imagine. And so they're playing in bigger places. It might be too late in the UK to see them now, but I will try and do that. And then I think I could probably like the album a bit more if I saw them live.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the way these things work. Once you get to know the songs a bit better in context.
Working Men's Club. They probably could have come up with a little bit better name, don't you think?
Yeah, I detest the band name.
Yeah.
Talking of which, I think the first two bands may suffer a bit from that today.
Well, are we ready for the next one? So this could be like I think last week we were talking about bands. Well, when we were talking about Van Halen, we were talking about how we should try to come up with a list of bands that are named after a last name. You know, just there's got to be like quite a few of them, you know. But how about bands that have intentionally misspelled names?
Well, I thought you were going to say bands that have rooms of the house. That would be a good one. But also intentionally misspelled, of course. Yes.
Yeah. So, we're going to talk about Bedroom, spelled BDRMM, but then their album is called Bedroom, spelled correctly. So there is kind of a fun little play on things, I guess. buttons. yeah. So I don't know. I had this thing on this album on my list of current things to listen to for quite a while, and thought, well, it's probably worth talking about at some point if somebody feels like talking about it. So yeah, we're finally getting to it now. So I think it sounds a lot like another band that we've talked about on the podcast. So we're gonna get to that in a moment, right? I guess we should play a track first, right? Why don't we do what I always do and play track two, Push Pull. There you go. That's Bedroom. And do we want to say what it sounds like?
A few different things to me, but, you know, My Bloody Valentine, if you want.
So I thought that this album sounded exactly like one singular band. And I played some of it for Grant, and he was just like you. He's like, well, it sounds like a few things. I'm like, wait, this sounds like it's the band Dive. And so it's their next album, which I would like. It sounds so much like Dive, it's almost distracting to me.
I'd agree with that.
But yeah, and it's got well, there's a little bit of Slow Dive in there too, right? That shoegazy sound.
Right.
Yeah. My Bloody Valentine, definitely. Mogwai to an extent. I think I need to listen to Dive as a matter of urgency, because this isn't my favorite genre, shoegaze, but when it's good, it's better than anything else. And there are moments on here which are just unsurpassable by anyone. Is it, you, I mean, it could be Slow Dive or Mogwai or My Bloody Valentine at their best. Not every track here, but certainly enough of them to make it a good album.
Yeah, I think it has some good. My only criticism of it is that it tails off a little toward the end, where it hits like this mid-tempo, almost droney, and it's not as interesting to me. But for most of it, like the first three quarters of it, I think it's really, really good.
Right.
Craig, do you want to make the next pick?
Yeah, you can tell I've been away from the podcast for a while because, Will, our picks aren't quite aligned. Our number one pick wasn't the same.
Yeah.
Which is rare, but that's good in this case for me. So
I have another one that I'm thinking of So I'm going to, in my head, I'll see if that's the one that you picked.
Well, I had the My Bloody Valentine one, but I'm not going to pick that because it's, my top pick was number 8, If. And then there's some dots there. If.
Bedroom. And yeah, we're like not really totally in sync on this because that wasn't one of my top picks. So yeah, it's good, but some of the I guess I like some of the slightly faster ones a little bit more.
I could just see myself in the darkened room with a pint of dark beer, and when that crunchy guitar comes back in,
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
I think the walls of the small room would be blown away. It's
right. Yeah, nice. That's true.
All right.
Barrett, any impressions on this one?
I liked it pretty well. Craig was mentioning earlier the way that he wasn't listening to a lot of new music this year. I've been in the same boat. It's been partially out of just being busy and distracted by things that having to do with the virus and stuff. And also, again, echoing Craig's comments, it just feels like kind of a, like this year just kind of doesn't count. But this one did connect with me. I do like it. My choice is one called Happy.
Thank you.
Yep. That was the one I was hoping Craig was going to pick. But Barrett came through. And you know, it's got the bouncy bass and add those moody guitars in there that sound exactly like Dive, but still cool.
Yeah, that was also on my short list of three picks. So we've come into alignment.
Good. All right. Yeah, we had to find the alignment had to come somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's Bedroom. And did we say where they're from?
Oh, they're from Hull. That's also in Yorkshire.
So,
what other? We recently talked about bands from Hull, I think, didn't we? Maybe recently might be as long ago as a year ago. Are some of the other bands that came out of the Hull area, Craig?
Life.
Yeah, the band Hull. Life, right. I remember that.
The, Wonderful. The House Martins from the 80s.
Sure.
Now you've got to test me. There, of course, there's more, but. My knowledge is not great enough to keep listing them, I'm afraid.
That's okay.
I remember when you told us about the band Life and you said Life from Hull, I thought the band was called Life from Hull. And then I realized, no, they're just called Life and they're from Hull.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's
supposed to be at South by Southwest this year.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yep. That list, it's the legendary festival that wasn't, because the number of bands that we were going to see that are really, really good. It just seems like they keep adding up.
Right.
So, yeah.
You know, when we all made the decision not to go, we thought, well, just, you know, maybe they were going to postpone it or whatever. But the general consensus was that, well, we're just going to have to wait till 2021. At this point, how incredibly unlikely does that even look to happen?
Very, very unlikely. Because
very.
Yeah.
The question is 22 now, really, right? You'd think that by March of 22, the pandemic will be under control. But there's a lot going on in the background.
Yep, we've got JJ just came home. Say hi, JJ.
Hi.
She's afraid.
Oh, we heard her voice. That's good.
You're saying say hi to me.
Hi,
whoever it is.
Hi, JJ.
Craig says hi. Waiting to see if Will says hi.
Hello.
Can you say hi?
Hi.
Yeah, he does too. Okay. They both do.
100% highs.
Yeah, all highs all around. So anyway.
Highs and high fives.
Snuck downstairs briefly to check on some football scores.
Oh.
And that's when she came home.
Isn't
the Vikings are getting destroyed?
Really?
By the winless Falcons.
Wow.
I'd love to see that.
Wow.
And the Bears are up 6 or 7 on Carolina.
So I was going to say, when we started recording, I was going to say that's really one of the reasons we were able to get you on the podcast is that the Packers aren't playing until later.
Right.
They're the late game.
Right.
The 3:25 p.m. game today.
Right.
So, I was going to say, so March of 22, you'd think we'd be in the clear. You sure would hope so. But then, you know, organizationally, we'll be able to pick it back up and do it again. I sure hope so, because what a great thing that is. But I'm also looking forward to the Brighton event that may not happen this May, so it might be May of 22.
Yeah,
I don't know.
There is live music is happening in the UK, but I haven't been to anything since March. And of course, what there is extremely low attendance and very, tickets in advance only and very low attendances because it has to be socially distanced. And I just wouldn't feel comfortable personally going to anything right now. I don't see how festivals that are happening in 6 months' time could possibly take place, but we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe if there's a huge downturn in the virus, if it gets minimal by like February, they could maybe still organize it for May, but that seems pretty shaky, doesn't it?
Yeah,
we'll find out.
It'll be interesting to see how quickly people come back to feeling as comfortable in situations like that, you know, going to big sporting events or crowded music venues. Right now, the thought of standing next to somebody without a mask on is like, it's horrifying.
Yeah.
You know?
I guess I kind of...
It's incredible how quickly we all change that way. Like,
right.
At South by Southwest in 2019, the lead singer of Otoboke Beaver spit a mouthful of water onto my shirt. Like, if that happened right now, I'd call the police, right? So like, I was like, that was the coolest thing that's ever happened to me.
Yeah. And now you'd call the cops. Yeah, that's a little bit of change of pace.
Attempted murder.
Right. Well, this is my current thinking, and I'll probably change, but my current thinking is if the particular community where you're seeing the show has a very minimal number of cases, you know, like five or fewer like per day or something, where it's pretty low in the community, and if I've had a vaccine, if you take those two things combined, then your risk has to be pretty darn low, right? Even in a crowd. I don't know. Right. This is my current thinking. So, I mean, because the vaccine won't be 100% either. It's like getting a flu shot where it substantially reduces but doesn't eliminate the chance of getting it.
Yeah.
But,
right.
So, yeah, well, we'll see.
Amanda said to me today, if you could go to any country tomorrow, where would you go? Look, any place. I said, Austin, Texas, obviously. She said, well, hold on. The virus still exists and you have to go tomorrow. Well, New Zealand is the only one. Japan and South Korea are obviously fine too, but. New Zealand, everything's, life's normal. They have gigs, they're hugging, and people are just socializing together. If they'd have me, I think I'd go there.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, we're trying to think of whether we can actually travel this winter. And I was thinking, you know, you could maybe go someplace, you know, in the south where everything is outside. And if everything's outside and it's not crowded, like New Orleans, maybe not, because still it would be too crowded. It's too scrunched into a small space. But there are maybe places you could go in the south where all the dining is outside, all the pubs are, you know, open with outdoor seating and stuff. And it could maybe would be doable, but that's still to be determined.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Two for two. I'll declare us two for two. And it wouldn't be this podcast without having a special feature, at least one special feature each week, right?
Yeah.
So here we go. It's got to be in here somewhere.
Oh my God, I can't believe I still got this.
Oh, when this came out, I was still in diapers, and David was already getting laid.
I think it was Barrett who reached way back into the vault for this one.
Way back there. Not quite 50 years ago. 47 years ago.
47 years ago.
So before Craig's time, before I was listening to music, and Will probably before... you were listening to anything like this. This is the second Roxy Music album, for your pleasure.
I was alive, but I never heard it.
Yeah. I wasn't actually, I don't think it was very big in the United States. None of them really were. They did 7 or 8, and the last one, Avalon, came out in 82.
And it was
big enough that I liked it, and I knew about it, but I'd never really listened to them before that. And to be honest, I didn't listen to a lot of it in the many years that followed until pretty recently that I just went back and kind of familiarized myself with their early stuff. And this is one of the really good ones.
Yeah. I think Avalon was the first one I heard too. And I maybe didn't hear the whole album, but it had a couple hits on it. So
right.
I had to go back to remember that Brian Eno was in the band for the first two albums, right? Because I always associated Brian Ferry as the guy.
Nope. He's only one of the two important Brians.
Yeah.
What's the chances of a band having two people called Brian? Brian's spelled differently. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yes. So these guys are from Newcastle, right? And Craig, give us what's up with Newcastle. I remember one time you told me that it was a pretty dreary place and that the beer they brew there is horrible.
Any more
about Newcastle that we need
to know? I get me in a lot of trouble. Newcastle, as they have to say it, is a wonderful city. Oh, charming people, very fun city. Yeah, definitely not dreary. Newcastle Brown Ale, you just wouldn't, you would never drink it.
I'm not sure, actually, there even.
It's just not, it's for export only, I think.
You just,
so I was totally wrong about Newcastle.
Yeah, you must have been thinking of a different place. Because I was reading about it being like one of the top 10 cities to visit in Europe, or in the UK, I mean, not all of Europe, but in the UK. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was right about the beer.
It's well,
interesting city because has the River Tyne going really right through the city centre, and I don't know, at least five bridges, maybe seven, I forget, going across, and it's a very nice, when you come in on the train, you have this prospect in front of you going over the river, all the bridges lined up on either side, and the city in front, and then the football stadium sort of right there, looming hugely over the well, you'd call it the downtown, we call it the centre.
Isn't the official name Newcastle upon Tyne?
Yeah, that's correct.
That's the full name. Like, Brighton isn't just Brighton, it's Brighton and Hove, because they merged.
Yeah, that Hove is a, well, I don't know, it's a city, a town, like, next to Brighton. So for the football, it's the same, Brighton and Hove Albion.
So, before we start talking about the album, I'll just let you know that you've offended my mother, because Newcastle Brown Ale is one of her favorite beers.
Oh, no, so. I just think...
Well, I got to say this, though, from a relatively old woman that lives in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that makes her cool. I'm going to go with that.
Everything is dependent on context, isn't it?
Yeah.
You just don't see it. I mean, Newcastle Brown Ale is never on draft in the UK. I don't think I've ever seen it in my life. bottles only. And most pubs would not carry it, really. They just wouldn't. Because people don't want to drink it. But some do. Mm-hmm. And definitely in Newcastle, I'm sure they do.
I mean, it's definitely the top British beer in the United States. bigger than Bass. You know, you don't really see Bass on tap as often as you do Newcastle.
I think that's right.
Close.
But is it really? God, there's got to be a British beer that's more popular than that. Is that really?
In the United States?
Yeah.
No, boy. I mean, there's Samuel Smith's, which is below the two I just mentioned.
Yeah.
I don't know. Old Speckled Hen is even below that.
Boy, God.
Well, that's really all that you ever see.
Yeah, I guess it's like, you know, there's like Smithwick's, which is Irish.
Oh yeah, okay.
But that's Irish.
Right.
So, and then there's, you know, Heineken is from Holland, right?
Holland, yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Well,
when you come to visit after the pandemic, I can get 100 bottled British beers that are better and line them up on the table, and they'd all be better than Newcastle Brown Ale.
100? Wow. We're going to have to save at least 150. At least a week. It's a week to get through all those beers.
Yeah, that's right. 12 beers a day for 7 days, you're only at 84. So, yeah, it'd take a while.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, let's get...
Yeah, so Roxy Music from... Yeah. Newcastle upon Tyne. The second album came out in, I think it was 1973. I wish I'd done a little bit closer. That sounds right to me. And it was the second, as I said, and the last one that they did with Brian Eno. So it's kind of a high point. I really like the first two equally well. When I nominated them along with the last one, Craig immediately jumped on the second one. So that's why we chose it. Craig, do you have a favorite song on here?
One of my favorite songs ever is on here. One of the best songs ever, period, is on here. Ooh. Well, I was going to make a different pick, just if you guys don't mind, just to shake things up a bit, just to show the depth of the album a bit more.
Well, you're going to have to like maybe play two tracks at least then, because you can't have an intro like that and then just not play it.
Well, one of you guys will pick one of the other two, so that's okay. It's just one of the greatest albums of all time. It's so great. There's one 9-minute song, which is a bit weird, but everything else is just amazingly good. Track 7, I was going to pick Grey Lagoons.
Blue sands and grey lagoons, silver starfish with honey moons, all these and more if you
That's Roxy Music from For Your Pleasure.
Yeah. How do you, they're kind of difficult to categorize in general. I mean, it kind of falls under the like broad category of art rock, right? A little, I don't know. I mean, you can hear later kind of new romantic stuff in there too. Like
The Fall, Bowie. Definitely. Fall was starting around, certainly around a similar time, and then obviously into the 80s. Art rock, they didn't really sound like anything else, though, do they? There's so many bands now that sound like this that you kind of, but of course they didn't exist then, stupid right. to say, really, but you can't group them with them because Roxy Music were on their own at the time.
Right. And then with, after Eno Lefty has a solo career, but I think really even a bigger part of his legacy is the Berlin era David Bowie stuff that he worked on. So you can hear some of that too in this, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to pick one. This is a song that's almost 5 minutes long, and my favorite part of it comes after in the third minute. So if you start at about 2 minutes, it goes from being kind of one kind of a thing to something else before going back again. So number two, Beauty Queen.
All right, I'll fade it in a not quite 2 minute mark.
You're the pride of your street while you worship the sun. Summer lover of fun, go number with neighbors who said that you'll go far, maybe someday be a star, a fast mover like you, and your dreams will all come true.
Roxy Music. All right, that had to be that has to be one of Craig's picks, right?
I like the same bit that Barrett does, where it gets becomes like that just insane. It's like the engines are starting or something, and you're heading out on the motorway. Or
right,
highway,
right. That's true.
But it wasn't one of my.
But so that's not one of the two that you alluded to earlier.
No, it's not one of those two.
Wow. No. Okay, that's
still
pretty amazing.
So great, right? What a great song.
Right.
So I totally did not do this justice, I have to admit. So I had never heard it before, and I made it through one time and just got kind of busy. But then one other thing happened. When I got to that 9 minute track, it almost made me mad. Because it's just like, it just kept going on and on and on, and you're like 5 minutes into it, 6 minutes. And I'm thumbs down on that 9 minute track. The rest of it, I'm sure that if I gave it the time, I would like just listening to it with you guys introducing it. I really like the two tracks we've played. So, but I just don't really get what they were doing with the 9 minute track, which is called The Bogus Man.
Yeah, I wonder about this because how can it be so good? What's in their mentality to put To me, it's just filler. It's probably...
Yeah, it's weird.
Philistine of me to say this about one of the best British bands of all time, you know, but what are they thinking putting that song on the album?
I don't have quite the same reaction that you guys have. I mean, it's not a highlight or anything, but I don't dislike it as much as you do. I don't know. I think it's okay.
Well, now I get to turn it back to Craig so he can tell us either one of his favorite songs of all time or one of the best songs of all time.
Oh, wow. I'm not even going to pick. Okay, so track 5, In Every Dream Home, A Heartache, is absolutely sensational. Well, it's not even one of the ones I'm going to pick. There was a club night when I was living in Sheffield called Razor Stiletto. And we were asking earlier, what music do people dance to? And I bet they don't dance to music as good as Working Men's Club. And it was kind of edgy, you know, not mainstream dance music at all, but edgy-ish electro dance. This kind of stuff that we would never listen to on the podcast. Not only made by bands, I don't think, probably made by DJs or artists, I don't know. So they would open from at 10 p.m. till 4 a.m. on a Saturday night once a month. And they'd play this music, which no one really knew. I don't know what it was. But every time, every month, they would play some rock. And that was a small selection. Easy Lover by Phil Collins and Phil Bailey. Suffragette City by David Bowie. And also Editions of You by Roxy Music. And this is where my love of this song comes from. Track 4, Editions of You.
Roxy Music. Yeah, now on that song, I noticed that it sounds somewhat like the David Bowie stuff from that era, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Glam. Yeah, it's glam, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we've got to at least mention Brian Ferry's incredible falsetto. I don't even know that his singing voice is that great by itself, but the way he applies that falsetto, or I'm saying falsetto, what I mean to say is vibrato.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, incredible. I can't think of anybody else that compares. Maybe Feargal Sharkey from The Undertones has that same kind of a quavery vibrato thing that's really cool.
And it can be tough to pull off too, right? And right. Actually sound good or cool.
Yeah, the lyrics are just, to me, they're great. I mean, you could say they're silly at times, but the line, too much cheesecake too soon, you probably only find that on one rock album ever. It's just brilliant.
That's true. That is true. Since you brought up cake, I've got to ask you if you fed your Christmas cake today.
Yeah, we did. First time. Thank you for checking in. We rely on our peers to, you know, it's kind of a moral thing. Without the encouragement of people, we'll let it slide. So we need people to say, I hope you're keeping up with the feeding.
Well, do you remember back 2 years ago when we saw that picture Craig sent before we made a recording?
Yeah.
The chili. We thought it was a bowl.
Right. I thought it looked like chili in a bowl.
And we were like, what the hell is that? And they told us about it, and I thought, I'm going to give it a try. And I've done it the last couple of years, and that's fun.
So you've been doing, you think it's been successful, Barrett, just starting this from scratch?
For sure. Yeah, I don't know. It's like, it takes a long, long time. I mean, it's for Christmas, right? Here we are in October, and you've got to do something with it every week. And really, it's pretty late. We haven't baked ours yet. We've got all busy, so we're going to try to do it today. So it gives you kind of an idea of how much maintenance it takes, babysitting. But I don't know. I just really liked it. It's fun to do, you know, something. It's always nice to have new traditions in the family. So
it seems like
this one's going to stick.
The whole project nature of it seems like it's what makes it fun, right? Because then it's more rewarding at the end because you had to put all that work into it.
It's fun for me. I don't know that Craig likes it anymore. The novelty is worn off. I think it's more of a chore.
Yeah, I don't enjoy baking at all. So to bake, I bake one thing a year, and it's this. So it'd be weird if I enjoyed
it. Yeah.
The smell is incredible. We opened up the container to feed it with its brandy today. It's weird that you put French brandy in it. I don't know. And sometimes you might put almond spirit, amaretto, maybe 1 or 2 weeks of that, but mostly brandy.
Right.
This could be the recipe of the week, except you're not really divulging the whole recipe.
It takes so long. You need candied peel, for sure. You need currants, raisins, cinnamon. Barrett, that'd be, not cinnamon, nutmeg. Definitely not cinnamon. That would be disgusting.
So JJ made an appearance earlier on the podcast. She said hi. So maybe Maya will say hi.
Hello.
Hey, it was right up to the Maya. Mic. That was pretty good, right?
Maya.
That's gonna.
Can you hear me?
Barrett has a question.
A question. I have a comment.
Barrett's got a comment.
At least 8 of those masks.
They sold
at
8.
The coffee shop.
They sold at 8 least. Masks. At least 8.
That's awesome. That thank you, guys.
2 days ago. Yeah. So something kind of fun. And a lot of people look at them and, you know, Maya sewed up some homemade masks that we're selling at the shop. And keep your eyes open around town for some cool masks. They're probably sewed by Maya.
Yeah. All right. That's so cool. Yeah. The indie version of a mask. There's a lot of those out there.
Yes.
Hers are really good. Highly recommended. So
we were just watching this film a couple of weekends ago. I didn't like it. A Scandinavian about a pigeon sitting on a branch contemplating life or something. Surrealist, dark Scandinavian humor. And these struggling traveling salesmen go into the store and say, our log shows you've sold, I don't know, 5 of these things. Can we have the money? And they just disappear. They say, I'll check with the manager. And she goes into the back room and comes out. And you can see the manager lying on the sofa. And she says, no, you can't have the money. So just imagine if Maya has to get the money for her masks from Barrett now.
Right, yeah. She's got to make a
You're
demand.
Just reclining on the couch. Yeah. No, not today.
Yeah. That, you know, that hadn't actually occurred to me to withhold the money, but I do like the sound of that.
I may have told this story before, but the indie rock version of that is the band that goes on a tour, and this happened to friends of mine who did a tour like around the late 80s, 1990 range, and they would go into these clubs, you know, and then it happened, I guess, more than once that they're done with the gig and they get back to the van. They're like, we haven't been paid. And then they just had one guy who was like bold enough to go in and ask for the money. find the club manager, you know.
Everybody I else would not like, be that guy.
Yeah.
I'd come out, sorry guys. I asked and he said no, and I just turned around.
Yeah. Oh man, oh man. Well,
yeah, if we were a band, who would we send in there?
Well,
Nicholas, maybe.
Yeah, probably Nicholas.
Yeah, if it was in America, they'd find him, you know, his Australianness to be unpredictable and maybe scary. Like he might, you never know what he's going to do. Headbutt you in the nose or something.
Yeah, I think maybe. I think
even though he's a really mild mannered guy.
If you want to talk about like the less aggressive approach, I think Jeremiah could charm them into paying us, right?
Yeah,
just with kindness and, you know, straight up approach. Yeah, or maybe Chris could put on his business acumen personality, you know, and demand the money in a very businesslike way. I don't know. Yeah. Well, okay. Greater than $0, well over an hour, even after I edit out my mistakes. There's only probably, 5 minutes worth of terrible mistakes by me, so I won't cut it that short. So, we're going to be well over an hour. So, people, don't complain about the $0 you've invested once again this week. We've got all kinds of good music, and I hope you guys, or I was going to say, we have all kinds of good music ready to talk about next week and probably the week after. But you guys, I hope, can be on a little bit more often. I'm going to keep bothering you. Maybe I'll bother you the point you'll resign from the podcast, because you'll say, I've had enough. It's not fun anymore with you demanding that I be on the podcast, so I'm done. I'm hoping that won't happen.
I need some encouragement, because if it gets to December and you ask me to do a top 10, I've currently listened to two things. two for this week. And then obviously I was on the podcast before and we did, the band with, I can't remember the name now. Sorry, 17 tracks and they're all quite short. And it was from Philadelphia.
Was that Second Grade?
Yeah, that's so good. That's going to be on the top 10 anyway. But if you listen to one thing, of course it's going to be on there.
Maybe you listen to some things in February. You know, you can go back to those. I don't know. Yeah. I will have no problem coming up with 10. But I know some people, it won't be so easy, because what a weird year. Yeah, this is like...
Yeah.
I mean, I was telling some friends or family members recently that there's a part of me I'd like to hibernate until the election is over, and then longer term hibernate until the COVID crap is over. Neither of those seem to be options, so we're just going to have to cope somehow, right?
Yep.
Well, all right, I guess we should sign off. Thanks, you guys. It's been fun.
Yeah, it was nice. Good way to spend a Sunday afternoon.
And the sun came out here as we were talking, and then now it kind of disappeared again. But at least it's bright. I'm going to get myself outside a little bit. So
yeah, it's pleasant. Pleasant day for a walk. You know, put on a wool shirt, go out for a walk.
All right. So,
anyway.
Let's talk again soon, and we will talk to everyone next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, England, and Australia. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. All of our episodes can be found at willsband.net. To contact us, send email to willsband@yahoo.com or find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.